Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecock, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders! Pressure, and he just dives in!
And Jamie Bradford.
Welcome in, everybody. Welcome home. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. It is, what, Thursday, it looks like. 4:10. I'm way off. But welcome to the Signorama Studios. We are, of course, built by the Barn Dough Co. JB will be here in just a minute or so.
He's running shortly.
Yeah, we got JC and Phil in with you to start things off for today. I was looking. What we've got, Daniel Kelly up at noon, 12:05. Everybody's favorite Spencer Rattler Stan will join us. That would be fun here on draft day. What time does it get kicked off this evening, JC? Is it like 8?
I don't know. And this is a good thing. Our kid, the youngest, wants to go to his buddy's house for a draft party. I'm like, well, that's good. At least you're not, you know, doing to do crack.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I think sports are positive in that way. And so his mom was just like, yeah, I don't know. And I was like, I'll take him. No way. This is a me thing. So I'll go take care of it. But yeah, it's exciting. I don't think Spencer's going to go in the first round. I think he's better than half those guys? And I put a poll up today on At the Big Spur 24/7. So go vote in the poll and respond to that. I think he will be. I mean, I look at a guy like Bo Nix and I'm like, man, you know, Bo has a lot, all of my respect in the world. Right. And he fought his ass off at Auburn in a bad situation because he's Patrick Nix's son and that fan base grumbles and they kind of blame everything on the quarterback like everybody else does. But I thought he played well. And then you go to Oregon, and I think we all saw when you looked at some of Marshawn Lloyd and Jordan Burch's highlights last year that, you know, those guys didn't necessarily get any better. They just weren't playing against SEC competition. And so he lights it up. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's a first rounder, right? You know, and I don't know. I mean, I think he struggled with probably a better supporting cast much more mightily. If you go game to game in the SEC at Auburn, then Spencer Rattler did at South Carolina. But I digress. I mean, I'm not picking on Bo. I mean, I think that, you know, I love J.J. McCarthy. I think he gets a bad rap because he didn't have to throw the ball, but he can. And I think he's really good. I don't know why people are souring on Drake May. You know, to me, Daniels, who's probably going to the Commanders, Phil, has a lot of – to me, he's a boom or bust guy. You know, I think no matter what Caleb Williams does, he's going to end up disappointing. I think the Bears have put enough around him to where he can win right away. But at the end of the day, I still have my questions about him. You know, and I get the Drake May thing. I think Mitch Trubisky subconsciously is hurting Drake May because they see the blue. Right. I mean, trust me, man, things are weird like that. But, you know, so I don't know. Will he be better than those guys? I don't know. But I think he's the caliber of those guys.
Yeah. I think talent-wise, he's got, you know, basically everything and more that I think some of these guys in front of him have. But just for some reason didn't capture the, you know, the eyes of – I think it's more media than it is, like, because I feel like there are some front offices who are a bit higher on him than really want, mm-hmm. you know, that really has been kind of not talked about because he's not one of the presumed top like 5-6 picks here. But somebody's going to get a steal.
I think so. And I think he's ready to step in and play too. I mean, you know, if he steps into a bad situation at that level, he's already been in a bad situation, you know, as far as personnel, limited personnel, pressure. You know, they disguise coverages really well in the SEC. I mean, you're throwing against Georgia's defense. It's the same thing schematically as what they do in the National Football League. It's very complex and great athletes everywhere. So, yeah, I'm with you on all that. I think that, at the end of the day, you know, somebody's going to get a player. I just don't think he's going to be called tonight. Maybe tomorrow, but no, not tonight. I think Xavier, based on, you know, the projections, has a shot to sneak in really late second round. I mean, late first round. So yeah. Leggett has a shot. And I mean, if I'm in the late rounds and I just need to get a receiver, I'm looking at best player possible. You know, I mean, like if I'm the Chiefs, I think, wow. You know, this is 6'3". No matter how tall he really is, 6'2", and a half, 6'3", 230-pound dude that can run, that plays tough, that played, you know, unlike a lot of players in college football these days that, you know, he never played injured, but he played hurt a lot and still mm-hmm. wouldn't come out of the game. He's got that warrior mentality. I really think that somebody's going to get a pretty good steal right there. Quantrell mentions Penix is going to be the second best quarterback in the draft. Injuries are killing him. Yeah, I'm probably with you there, man. I think that if Penix did not have that history of injuries, we'd be talking about him going probably to the Commanders, and there probably would be some debate as to whether or not to take him over Caleb Williams, just because of Penix's arm talent and age and maturity. I think he beats Caleb in all those departments. He's just – you don't know about the knees, man, the bum knee. I got a bum knee. Man. I'm sorry. put my liquor in it, you know, down in my bum knee. Jalen Rashada, that saga continues. I've never seen so much about an average quarterback in my life. Maybe Mike Bobo thinks he can get more out of him. I trust Mike. I think he probably can. But, like Bruin mentions, they just told – Kirby told Beck he didn't want him. That's not true, dude. Beck's one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Right.
They're looking down the road. Now, what does that say about Gunnar Stockton, Ryan Montgomery? I don't know. I never thought Ryan Montgomery was, I mean, close to being able to start at Georgia. I mean, he was probably closer to starting at Carolina or Florida. And even then, it would take a couple of years. That doesn't mean he's not a four-star player and a damn good quarterback. Sometimes guys just take time. But, no, Georgia's take – I mean, look, if you're Georgia, there's no downside. You bring him in, he learns the system for a year, sits behind a Heisman Trophy candidate on a really good team, and then you let him battle it out with Stockton for the job. I mean, why not? Then you're not just handing Gunnar Stockton the job. Do I think we're going to start – do I think this story is done and over and he's going to stay at Georgia all 3 years? He better be good. That's all I'm saying. Right. Yeah. If he's even just above average, he's going to end up going. Because this is kind of the deal with the free transfer at any time. You can literally go and maybe do like a residency at a program, Phil,
Mm-hmm.
And you could call it a residency and just see if it works out. If it doesn't, you just got there. I mean, there's going to be, the more this happens and the more the top guys gravitate to Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, where at Texas, wherever, the more you're going to see the schools kind of down the list, quarterback starved and in need of a transfer. And so, hey, why not? Why not shoot your shot at Georgia? If it doesn't work out, sayonara. I'm going to go here to school. You know, maybe he ends up back at Florida. Who knows? I mean, yeah, right. That's just kind of weird. I feel bad for Arizona State because Kenny Dillingham and his staff, that was a tough year. They started him. They put a lot of time into him. That's the shame of it, right? It's a shame of it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't surprise me a bit. The guy's coming back to the SEC after what he was demanding. You know, I mean, obviously there's an overinflated sense of goodness, but I saw nothing at Arizona State this past year that said special or even good. Like, no, I mean, and then look, he's a freshman. That's fine. You're going to struggle, right? Especially with the season, you know, that Arizona State had. But look, man, I'm sorry. So now, based on this body of evidence, your star rating, your ridiculous NIL demand, the some Gator collective was supposed to play, and a very bad average year at Arizona State, you know, that means you're going to waltz in and play for Georgia. I just don't know. Maybe it's a humbling thing, because I'll tell you this, Georgia's not paying anything close to – Georgia's NIL works a little different than most in that kind of everybody gets the same and then you go up from there. Right. Which I think is good when you recruit like they do. That's the best way to do it. Everybody's happy. You know, everybody's getting a check. I think quite frankly, that's the best way to do it everywhere, but you know, he's not getting paid. Maybe he's humbled. Maybe he wants to go learn from a national championship winning staff. I mean, nothing against Kenny Dillingham. He's 31 years old, 32. Mike Bobo's a little bit older, a little bit wiser, put a little bit more people in the NFL. Maybe it's a humbling thing. So maybe I'm wrong. To me, it smells like a bunch of hype. But I understand why Kirby did it. I'm a little questioning is why the Rashadas, and the one put their name in the paper. Right. But Maybe he's been humbled and he wants to go someplace and challenge, and it's not about money or hype anymore. It's about him getting better, and maybe he felt like he wasn't going to get better at ASU. I don't know. I just think that, I don't agree at all that he's been brought in there to push Carson back out. There's no way anybody's beating Carson back out next year, you know, in my opinion. So that's the deal there. And Bruin, that's fine if we disagree. That's what football opinions are all about. If you think Rashad is going to beat out Beck and Kirby's giving Beck's job away, then I think there's somebody with about $4 million worth of NIL money that would like to talk to Kirby about that they put up for him to come back. But you're welcome to believe that, man. We agree more than we disagree, brother, especially on number 16 at Carolina. So I'm fine with that period. So anyway, yeah, Harrison points out, you remember with the Newman guy from Wake transfer there during the pandemic and was going to be a stud. Yeah. And then he got hurt, never played. So there you go.
Just never know. Never know.
Anyway, our boys here.
Well, welcome in, JB. What's up?
Dealing with problems. But the last 72 hours have been around here. So we're all right, at least till 2 o'clock, and then I'll go deal with them again.
You say plumbing problems?
No, not plumbing problems. Just but problems. Certainly problems. Always problems, guys. Glad to be here. Good day. Could be a big day for the Gamecocks if Xavier Leggett goes in the first round like he's projected by many.
Yeah.
Looking forward to getting Daniel Kelly on at noon. Daniel Kelly will talk about Spencer and Xavier Leggett in the value form that he has them in on firstroundmock.com. And my good buddy Kip Bocknight will be in at 1 o'clock today as well to talk about Gamecock baseball as they've got the Wildcats walking into Founders Park tomorrow night. Carolina looking to pull an upset in the series if they can and win that sucker against the top five Wildcats. We'll see what happens there. But Kip's ready to go. And he's certainly got some thoughts on where they are and where they can go from here. So could be it should be a fun day here on on Inside the Gamecocks for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the final projections this morning because Leggett has a lot of first round hype right now. Trevor Sickman with Pro Football Focus has him 31 to the 49ers, which certainly would be a great spot. I mean, if he goes at the end of the first round, he's going to a good football team. We know that. The NFL Network's Peter Schrager and Lance Zierlein both have Leggett in the first round. Schrager's got him going to New England, and Zierlein has the former Gamecock wideout headed to KC. Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports has him going to KC with the 32nd pick in the draft as well. And ESPN, though, has shifted him out of there. They've got Mitchell, the Mitchell kid from Texas, going 32 to Kansas City, just behind Kool-Aid McKinstry, headed to San Fran from Alabama. But he's getting some first-round looks. So what that tells us is he's a first-round player. It's just a matter of which organization likes him over whomever it is that they'd be selecting against for that position, wide receiver.
You got a lot of bunched up there. You got Pearsall from Florida. You got Ladd McConkey. Don't count Ladd McConkey out ever.
Really good player, but I think Leggett's better than both those guys, and I'm not saying as a fan of Xavier Leggett or South Carolina. I've watched them all play plenty. I think he's better than both of them.
I think McConkey's an overachiever, and I think that Pearsall is like a very above average to definitely a pro, right? Yeah, like good. Is he an all pro? I don't know. Starter at this level in time. Xavier's got the upside, though. I mean, Xavier's a freak. He's way more freaky than those two guys. I mean, those guys are just kind of your normal, you know, normal build or whatever. And McConkey's really good at some things. And Pearsall's probably underrated. Hey, guess where he started his career? Arizona State. Why do guys leave Arizona State? It's a talent-rich environment.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Anyway, I digress. But, I think they're all kind of bunched in there together. You mentioned the Mitchell kid from Texas. One or two will go in the first, and one or two will go early in the second, and they'll all be off the board. But they're all really good players, and I think we're all pulling for him to go. Now my question is this, because I've seen some different hot takes on this in the chat box, on Big Spur, on Gamecock Twitter. I know a lot of you are Panthers fans, and a lot of you aren't. Would you be happy if you went to the Panthers? Another Gamecock to the Panthers? I mean, as bad as that situation. I mean, it's a legit question. What would you think about him going to the Panthers?
Yeah, it is a great question. First and foremost, remove the fandom. The fact wherever he goes, hat tip to Xavier Leggett for getting himself here, because I'm not so sure anybody at this point in time last year was speaking about Xavier Leggett in first round and putting those in the same sentence at all, but he's there. From a fan standpoint, it would be neat to see him in Charlotte, because you could go watch him play alongside a bunch of other dudes that used to wear the garnet and black. For his sake, I'd like to see him go to a winning organization. The Panthers, at this point in time, it doesn't appear are that. Now, I mean, things can change quickly in the NFL, as we all well know, but it doesn't look that way. But hey, look, here's the thing too. If you're the Panthers and you take Xavier Leggett, I guess that would be 33, right, in the second round. If you take Xavier Leggett, your wide receiver room just got incredibly upgraded. Now, can you block? Can Bryce Young throw the football? You know, all those things. I don't know, but your wide receiver is better. I can tell you that.
I'll say this, the Chiefs are intriguing too. The Chiefs don't have anybody like him. You know, that they have some kind of diminutive guys. Like, they're not, hell, there you go. The Kansas City Chiefs, Gamecock Nation, do not have a 6'4", 6'5" receiver. I don't think. I may be talking out my butt there, but seems to me like all their playmakers are kind of average sized. So you add him to that mix, it gives you some diversity. It gives you kind of a jump baller for Patrick Mahomes to hit. Could you imagine Travis Kelce and Xavier Leggett on a crossing pattern across the middle, an X pattern? and the picks that could be set there. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Linebackers aren't going to want to see that in the NFL. I'll tell you that right now. So no. I don't know. I mean, if he comes to the Panthers and they can get a little better, great. And you're right, JB. The Panthers are dog doo-doo right now, but I remember the Jacksonville Jaguars were crap under Urban Meyer, and the next year Trevor Lawrence leads them to the playoffs. They almost beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL's designed that league. The rules in that league are set up to where you're never out of it. You're a couple of years away from getting back to the playoffs and all that's very cyclical. Mm-hmm. And it's designed that way to keep everybody, you know, to keep your money and your attention. So, yeah. But I, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I'm with all y'all, a kid from a small town in South Carolina. There's stories like this that have been written over and over at this university with these types of guys. And it's something to be daggum proud of if you're involved with the Gamecocks. I mean, these guys come from these little small towns around our state. They work their butt off. They stay in state. They play for the Gamecocks. They got a lot of pride in the school and the state, and they go on to huge things. And it's everybody from Sheldon Brown from Louisville to Alshon Jeffrey from St. Matthews to John Abraham from Lamar. You know, the list goes on. Oh, there's been several at Clemson too. Don't get me wrong, but you know, this is yet another chapter in that story of guys coming from these wonderful small towns around our state, making it big. And that has to give everybody a lot of pride.
Yeah, I think so. I do. I think, and we'll hit a timeout here, but I really like the question that was asked just a couple of minutes ago from Hayne about the difference of Xavier Leggett. And is it Adonai? It's Adonai, right? Adonai Mitchell. I always screw this up. I've been screwing this up since I first saw him play at Georgia 3 years ago. First, I thought it was Adonai, but I thought I was corrected to Adonai.
Yeah, I say Adonai. I don't know. I'm probably wrong.
Let's just go with A.D. Mitchell.
He goes by A.G.,
most people,
there we go. They call
most
him A.D.
people call him A.D., so I'm just going to stick with that. So I tell
I thought
you what
he
we'll
was
do.
Georgia's best receiver. Honestly, I thought he was Georgia's best receiver a couple years back.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I think that's a really good question. I actually think there's some similarities there. So we'll hit a timeout. We'll talk about that. And we've got plenty more to get to. These are not Xavier Leggett and Spencer Rattler, of course, not the only two names that South Carolina is hoping to hear come off the board over the next couple of days. They do have a few others out there, and we'll see if we can't dig up some stuff on that. Daniel Kelly ahead, Kip Balt night ahead. Going to be fun. And it's a nice, beautiful, warm day here in the state of South Carolina. We are served by Chicken Cock Bourbon and always built by the Barn Dominium Company. The Barn Do Co. is where you can build your dream home for as low as $160 per square foot. That's almost unheard of these days, especially for a dream house like they can build. Nobody builds them like they do. It's incredible. If you go to thebarndominiumco.com, you'll see what I'm talking about. And if you live in North or South Carolina, Georgia, or Tennessee, you're in luck, because those are the four states right now that the Barn Do Co. serves here in the Southeast as they continue to expand. Live from the Cinerama Studios, ITG will be right back.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
A screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Brewer. His second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns the corner. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product, and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
It's 11:28 here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Welcome back. Always, again, live from the Cinerama Studios. JC, Mad Dog, and myself here until 2 o'clock. Again, Kip Baltnight ahead at 1. Daniel Kelly ahead at noon. The question was the comparison of A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Legette. So Mitchell's got him by a couple of inches. I think he's between 6'3 and 6'4. And also, I believe, ran like a mid 4.3s 40-yard dash. And I know that, of course, Xavier Legette checked in at 4.39 and measures about 6 foot, a little over 6 foot one. So those are the measurables, right? You know, you've got those things, but the question is bigger than that and goes deeper than that. And it's a great question. I think I honestly believe I'm with you, JC. I think a couple of years ago, Georgia's best wide receiver was A.D. Mitchell. And I think what happened with A.D., not I think, I mean, it's kind of evident. A little bit similar to Xavier Legette, but Xavier Legette didn't transfer. A.D. Mitchell did. Of course, I think he was banged up for a little while in Athens too. But he was also, his freshman year was 21. He had, 29 or 30 catches that year for 400 and some odd yards. And there was a bunch of dudes who were dudes that were kind of in front of him. Same thing happened to Legette. Of course, took him some time to develop, and they had some extremely talented guys in front of him. I don't know, like Juice Wells the year before, and then it was his time to shine, and did he shine? Wow. One of the greatest wide receiver seasons in the history of the program. You could argue it was the second or third greatest ever, easily. And so there's some similarities in their path, right? Like in how they got to where they got in college and when they performed and all those type things. But you know, I think that what separates them, aside from the measurables, and I would definitely make the argument that throughout A.D. Mitchell's career, he had better hands than Xavier Legette. It took Legette a while to really routinely be able to catch the football. And once he started getting that down, of course, he was dangerous. But I think what really separates them is A.D. Mitchell came into college with some expectations. And largely he's probably met those. Now that you've seen him play as a junior, he's going to be probably a first-round or second-round draft pick. What expectations did Xavier Leggett come to school with? And you know, cycling through wide receiver coaches and cycling through offensive court. How many OCs did Xavier Leggett have, JC? I mean, we had Dowell, and he had Satterfield.
Sad attack.
And he had
Bobo.
Mike Bobo.
And Brian McClendon. And how many receivers coaches?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I saw somebody like destroy Step the other day. He didn't develop Xavier Leggett. Well, actually, he gets the lion's share of the credit because he had him 3 years. B-Mac had him for one. And Joe Cox had him for one. And, you know, so he has to get credit for it. But
So four OCs and three wide receiver coaches.
Yeah, right? I mean, there were really people out there that I always thought he was an offensive player because he was a good quarterback in high school when he could run. And he's big. And there were some out there, asinine kind of talk, you know, people that want to move everybody all the time because they know best, right? They wanted to move into safety right away, you know. I'm like, no, he's probably outside linebacker if he's a defensive guy or maybe even the end because he's got that – you can bulk him up that big.
Yeah.
I always thought the guy showed signs. If you remember in 19 against Vandy – there were some receivers hurt. I think Josh Van got hurt that day. He got in, caught a touchdown. You know, he was the second best receiver on the team in 2020 when he got hurt, and Will never said anything about it. So all of us didn't know until Bobo took over. Oh yeah, he's been out for 8 weeks. Yeah. In 2021, the poor guy, you know, had a car wreck at the beginning, and then because they were expecting him to be right there with Brooks and Van, and it put him behind. He still caught the winning touchdown against Vandy. You know, and then in 2022, you kind of started to see it. Like, Carolina had Van ahead of him, Brooks, obviously Bell and Wells and, you know, all these guys. And so he was kind of the fourth or fifth guy. But just about down the stretch, about every game, Xavier Leggett would have a tough-as-heck catch. And you go, wow. Mm-hmm. He just jumped up over that guy and brought it down. And then in the Gator Bowl, you know, here he comes, and look at him. And he just – he's one of those guys that, you know, sometimes in bowl games you have one-hit wonders that do great things, and then the next year they're just kind of back to being the same guy. It's not as difficult to do it in one game as it is to do it consistently. And he just worked even harder after that offseason. He's the hardest-working receiver Carolina's had here since Alshon Jeffrey. And people don't understand just how much Alshon Jeffrey worked and worked and worked and worked at route running, at all the things that, you know, his physical limitations, because he was limited physically, wasn't the fastest guy, wasn't the most athletic guy. He overcame that through work and route running and learning the offense and was a great pro. Same thing with Leggett, although I think Leggett's athletic upside, maybe not his natural receiver ability, but athletic upside's probably higher.
You know, I think what's one of the things that's interesting about Xavier, and this, like, I don't want to have this as a universal conversation with all of the wide receivers that are in the class, because although we know who they all are, I don't know the stories of all these guys. I don't know the scheme that all these guys played in. I cannot recall at all their careers that, you know, you remember moments of their careers and that they were really good, but I don't remember the specifics or anything like that that you do with Xavier Leggett. But I'll make a couple of, I think these are, I mean, they're opinions, but I think they're pretty factual. One is that Xavier Leggett plays bigger than 6'1¾", if that makes sense. Like, when you, first of all, just the eyeball test, Mad Dog, when he walks on the field, if you're sitting in the stands, he doesn't look 6'1". He looks bigger than that, and there's a reason why he was listed at 6'3". But he is, I think he's what, 6'1⅞" or 6'1¾", whatever, same difference. So that's one. So he plays bigger. But number two, I think one of the things that makes him a flexible draft pick is that he can be a number one, but he can also be a number two. And so if you are the Chiefs or, you know, whoever, the Niners, it would be kind of neat to see Debo and Xavier Leggett on the same team, would it not? But like if you have a WR1 and you're like, man, we really need a WR2. WR2 in the NFL is a good, that's a pretty good spot to be in there. You're gonna have a year. And so he can be the two guy, but if he goes somewhere like Carolina, for instance, or wherever, somebody who needs to draft a wide receiver to be the top dog, he can handle that. And if you really think about it, not everybody can. Like, number ones can be number twos, but not all number twos can be number ones. And I think that's what makes him a pretty flexible draft pick at that position.
No, I mean, when you think about the combination he has, even though he is, you know, say a couple inches taller than some of the larger receivers in the NFL, the speed that comes with that frame is, I mean, just remarkable. I mean, we've all seen it. Like, he catch a crosser over the middle and take it to the house like it was nothing. I mean, just pulling away speed.
Yeah.
And the ability to run the route to get himself open to start with. He's got, you know, everything you need and everything you're looking for, except for, you know, like an inch and a half of height. But he makes up for that with his vertical and his ability to high point the football and catch it with one hand on the sidelines. And, you know, I mean, there were some of the catches he's made, some of the circus catches along the sidelines that would be good on Sunday with both feet down anyway that we saw. And it was, I think one of the things that kind of gets lost in the conversation with Leggett is how fortunate was he to have Spencer Rattler, or, you know, or somebody of that caliber, right, to actually demonstrate to these scouts exactly what you're getting in a guy like Xavier Leggett. I mean, that's where he was fortunate, you know, all the OCs and wide receivers coaches notwithstanding, he persevered through that, handled himself like a pro all the way through college, and worked his ass off to get where he is, and hopefully he'll get some recognition tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. I was looking at some of his measurables. Wow. I didn't realize his hand span was 9 inches. That's do y'all realize how big that is? Like, that is that's enormous. His wingspan at 77.5, his arms at 31.875, 40-inch vert. I mean, he's got the stuff. I know the 40 always gets the nod, and everybody looks at the number, the 4.39. When you put a 3 in front of a 4, people glance. Like, you could be a 4.4, and then you could be a 4.39. Everybody's like, oh my God, the guy at 4.39 flies. You do realize that was like 1/100th of a millisecond faster than the other guy, right? Like, we're not talking about minutes here. I mean, it was that. And then also, the way that they project this on ESPN, it's a neat new tool that they have. And of course, all these things never truly ever matter, guys, as we all well know. They do the win percentage and stuff, and you just laugh at some of it sometimes. But 43, they've got him as a 43.3% as a starter, 35.3% as a Pro Bowler, and just 17.5% as a quote backup player, 2.8% as a replacement, 2.8% as a replacement player. I'm sorry, and 1.1% non-factor, which is pretty interesting. Marvin Harrison Jr., 45.9% Pro Bowler, starter, 39.7%. So basically, like, it doesn't mean either or. Pro Bowler, you want the higher percentage to be on the Pro Bowler, and then starter the next lowest percentage. Again, 45.3 on the Pro Bowler for Harrison, 35 for Xavier Leggett. So you run the metrics, you're talking about 10% difference in Xavier Leggett and Marvin. That's really not much, right? And I think that shows you a couple of things. One, Xavier Leggett's really, really good. We know how good Marvin Harrison is. But also, number two, couldn't we make the argument that this year's wide receiver draft class, like, from a talent standpoint, it number one, it is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly deep, like, so deep. And number two, really, they're all kind of in the same boat. It's really going to be more about fit. So I think some guys are going to get drafted, and maybe you look up in 2 or 3 years, and they don't have the career that we thought they might. And I'm not so sure that it really has much to do with the player. It's really more the organization that they get drafted to. And then you get another guy who you just don't think much about it, and you look up 2 or 3 years and you go, holy cow, that guy was the 9th or 10th wide receiver taken in the draft. But, you know, he's put up 3,000 yards in 3 years, and he's got 30 touchdowns to his name. That's pretty incredible. So I think it's really going to be about fit. That's probably what's most important for Leggett.
Yeah, it would be interesting, especially those last – I was trying to pull up the draft order. But, I mean, if he is projected late first round, you're right. He's going to go to a solid program, A. You know, it's just – it's amazing that we're here talking about this when you think about it, where he came from. That's what I keep running over in my head is, like, just his path to where we are today and him legitimately playing himself into a first-round contract is nuts.
Would you like to hear something that would make y'all sick? All right. And I say this keeping in mind that Nate Atkins is still with the Denver Broncos. Think about the 2022 offense for a minute. Marshawn Lloyd, I don't agree with it, and it is a down year for running backs. Some people have him as the first back off the board in this draft. So you're talking about South Carolina having an NFL quarterback, an NFL – remember Shane said that and everybody laughed? We have an NFL quarterback, an NFL running back, and NFL receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, lo and behold, here we are.
He was right.
We're talking about Spencer being better than half the cluttered guys going in the first round. Xavier's almost played his way into the first round. Marshawn is going to be the first pick at running back at his position, maybe. I'd say likely.
Really?
You know, you Jaheim Bell's not going to get drafted because Jaheim Bell can't learn the plays. Mm-hmm. He's seventh round at best, but that's still firepower, you know. You look back, Jalen Brooks made the roster, was drafted by the Cowboys, and I think made the team. I mean, Nate Atkins is with the Broncos. I mean, think about that, guys.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I mean, and you could say, well, offensive line, not in 2022, because once they kind of simplified things for everybody, the line played fine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought. I mean, Jalen Nichols had a good end of the year, and Eric Douglas finished it out the right way. I mean, so think about all that talent South Carolina had on offense.
Yeah.
I didn't mention Juice Wells either, did I? Yeah. Best receiver in the SEC. You know, I mean, wow. So, I mean, I'm going to get PTSD over that in the 2017 season where, if you look back, a lot of great talent there that went to waste because of terrible play calling.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know that Marshawn Lloyd will be the first running back taken. I don't think he will be.
I wouldn't take him. I think he's soft. I don't want to say soft. I think he's likely to take himself out of the game.
Yeah, I'd put my money on Jonathan Brooks at Texas, or maybe the Benson kid out of Florida State. I think one of those.
I love
two guys
Benson now. Time. Benson's would be, you know, but I mean, there's Lloyd. Marshawn had a good year, but I mean, again, who is he running against?
Yeah,
it's and like Bo Nix, you know.
And what system was he in? You know, I just that's something that, you know, it, you hear it, JC. I mean, those are real conversations. That style of offense, how does that project to the NFL?
Yeah, you're scared to death. I mean, you know, like did Joe Mixon come out of that? Was he at Oklahoma when Lincoln was there? There have been running backs come out of that system and be fine, but look, you have to be realistic. You're bad on defense anyway in the Pac-12, unless you were Oregon or Utah. And so he played, you know, he played for SC or whatever. You're playing against SC. They have no defense, so they have to outscore you. And Lincoln knows that. And you're scared to death of you're having to sit there and stop Caleb Williams from running or throwing against those stud receivers. Of course, there's going to be room to run if you're Marshawn Lloyd. Probably a lot more room to run than the tight, let's beat our head against the wall, L.A. Rams, let's pull a tackle that runs 6 flat away across the field to block a linebacker offense they're running South Carolina. I mean, that's not a compliment to Marshawn Lloyd. That's saying, hey, he's this good, but in the NFL, you're much more likely to not have teams backpedaling against a Lincoln Riley offense and at a personnel disadvantage. So I would weigh more what he did at Carolina
just like with Rattler and Oklahoma, I think that was fool's gold. I think, I mean, no defense in 2020 at all. Plus you're in the Big 12 and you got way more talent than everybody else. And then in the bowl game, Florida had half their team opt out. And so Oklahoma went crazy. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish what they accomplished that year. It was a tough year for everybody, but being realistic about Spencer Rattler, that was a great fun year to watch, but it really has nothing to do with how good or not he's going to be in the NFL football wise.
Right. Yeah. It's a great point. Two very interesting cases, as interesting of cases as really I can remember for quite some time. Also has a chance maybe to be the smallest draft class for the Gamecocks since 2018, when just one player was taken, and that was Hayden Hurst. He did go in the first round, but since then, I think the lowest number of draft picks they had was a couple of years ago, three. We'll go through that list coming up here in just a little bit. We'll take our final time out of hour one. Again, Daniel Kelly, firstroundmock.com. He's ahead at noon. Kip Botnight is ahead at 1 o'clock today. And we'll have a lot of fun between now and then. Don't go anywhere. Inside the Gamecocks, the show powered by Electric Bikes of Charleston. We'll be right back.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down to Mississippi, and got to New Orleans, where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And Chicken Cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton, and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Gamecock owned and operated.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barn Door Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy insulation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Door Company. Gamecock owned, Gamecock operated. The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
11:50, April 25th. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show. Daniel Kelly ahead here soon. It was Cam Smith last year in the second round, Zach Pickens in the third, Darius Rush in the fifth, Javon Gwynn and Jalen Brooks both went in the seventh round. Jalen Brooks, Darius Rush, Zach Pickens, Cam Smith all had tremendous years. Javon Gwynn, of course, went to the Falcons, and hopefully his career works out as well. Prior to, in 22, J.J. Enagbari, Kevin Harris, and Nick Muse went off the board. And in 21, Ernest Jones, we know the career he's turned in. Sweet goodness. Shai Smith, the last wide receiver that was drafted to the Carolina Panthers. Izzy McQuamu, they all went in the draft behind, of course, the first rounder, J.C. Horn, who went to the Panthers. And then back in 2020, led by Javon Kinlaw, it was followed with Brian Edwards, DJ Wonnum, and T.J. Brunson. So if Xavier Leggett goes in the first round tonight, he'll be the first in 3 years to do it. Horn was the last, Kinlaw prior to, and back in 18, Hayden Hurst. And then before Hayden, back in 14, a guy named Jadeveon Clowney. And prior to that, a pair of first-rounders went in 2012, if you'll remember, Stephon and Melvin Ingram. And then before that, back in 2006, Jonathan Joseph, 2005, Troy Williamson, Dante Robinson in 04, and John Abraham, the first Gamecock in the new century to go in the first round in 2000, went to the New York Jets. So Xavier Leggett would join that list if he's able to do so. Now, with that said, when Spencer Rattler hears his name called, it'll be the first time in 34 years a quarterback has been taken out of the University of South Carolina. Todd Ellis went in the ninth round to the Denver Broncos, the 247th overall pick back in 1990.
People can't believe that, too. I mean, I was on with Bill King this morning, and he was like, I hadn't really kept up with South Carolina's draft prospects because, I mean, you know, if you're just following it from a national standpoint, you're not hearing – you're hearing Spencer Rattler every now and then. You're really talking about Penix and Nix and McCarthy and all those cats. You know, and then Leggett's kind of an outlier. There's not that many draft guys that Carolina will put in the draft this year. Because I think a lot of their better players, quite frankly, are back or left. But you look at it, and it, you know, you say it's been since 1990 since Carolina's had a quarterback drafted. Crazy. And they're like, what? You know, and Bill started brainstorming. He's like, Steve Tannehill didn't get drafted? No. Nope.
Yeah.
And I'd have to go back and find. I mean, I actually saw Steve this past weekend, got to meet him in person. I never met him before, but I kind of wonder why. You know, back then he's 6'5", had a good arm. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, then you kind of go through the years. Now, Anthony Wright, who we've had on the show a couple of times, actually had the longest NFL career and started a bunch of games through a bunch of seasons. And he was probably the ones had the most success. Connor Shaw, I think, started 3 games, 2 for the Browns and 1 for the Bears. Mm-hmm. Had a cup of coffee as a starter in a regular season, and that's it. And there's been good quarterbacks that have played here. You know,
yeah.
It's not like, you know, I mean, Dylan Thompson, by the time he was a senior, was one of the best in the SEC. I mean, Connor Shaw, Jake. Yeah. I think had Jake not gotten hurt and then transferred and then gotten hurt again and things had worked out a little different for him, I don't think we'd be talking about this right now. I'll stand by that part of my Jake Bentley projections because I do think he would have been drafted, but you know he wasn't. So the streak continues, and now you got Spencer, who will. I mean, it'll end. Spencer will be drafted, but that's just very fascinating. For a program like this that, you know, as you know, at least for the past quarter century has been in bowl games, won games, you know, they've had winning seasons. I will also say this though, the guy that did most of the winning seasons, Steve Spurrier. And I think Rex Grossman was probably his best Florida quarterback in the league. And people in Chicago still talk about how he was the worst starting quarterback for a Super Bowl team ever. So Spurrier didn't exactly churn out the NFL quarterbacks. Really good in college, but not exactly the NFL. So,
yeah, it is hard to believe that. I think had Stevens' career gone differently, he would have had his name called in the draft. And now, of course, you know, Connor Shaw went to the NFL, started a game, as we pointed out. But yeah, it's crazy to believe. Now,
none of I didn't mention Steven. Steven had the tools, though. I mean, somebody, yeah. Really,
yeah.
I mean, that absolutely. Guy. And man, I saw him throw at a camp about 6 years ago, and he looks like he can still play.
Yeah,
I mean, he's still.
Oh, he can throw it now. Yeah,
I mean, there's not many tougher. I mean, think about the tough quarterbacks Carolina had back to back, and Garcia and Shaw.
Yep.
I mean, tough in different ways, but those two were tough as nails.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, they didn't flinch. I mean, and Steven, even if he screwed up, he wouldn't flinch physically. He'd go out there and run somebody over. Yeah, played breakdown. He just run somebody over. So,
yeah.
I get it. And our release is something about Spencer reading the defense pre-snap. I think Spencer called a lot of the plays. You know, they send a play in. It's up to him to read the defense pre-snap. I think he actually put him in a lot of good positions. That's one of those things that's hard to tell, and we'll see. Certainly Peyton Manning. If he goes into a Peyton Manning style offense, Marcus Satterfield's playbook will help him with that because his plays were 18 words long, but that'll help. But so I don't know that I agree that he doesn't have the ability to do it, because I know he did it a few times, but you know, it's hard to kind of get a measure on exactly how much. All I know is this: I saw very few times where they would change the play where it was definitely coming in from the sideline. Once Dowell got here.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
We will talk plenty of Spencer Rattler here in just a minute with Daniel Kelly. We know his thoughts on Rattler. We'll have him reaffirm those on our program and give his projections on what we'll see tonight in the NFL draft. Again, if or when Rattler goes in the next couple of days, he'll be the third quarterback ever drafted from the University of South Carolina. Jeff Grant, Todd Ellis, the only others to hear their name called all time. Grant's in 76 and Ellis in 1990. Was
Dan Reeves not
38 good? Years. I don't think Dan was.
I know he played running back in the NFL.
But yeah. Not as a he didn't Cowboys. Go as a didn't go as a quarterback.
Was he? But he's quarterback at Carolina, but he's a running back in the NFL. Old Dan Reeves, RIP.
Time out. But plenty of fun stuff on the other side. If you haven't heard firstroundmock.com's Daniel Kelly, and this is your first time, don't leave. You're going to enjoy what you hear. We assure you of that. We'll be right back.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit charlestonfitnessequipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cole Joel here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight off the bucket. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well, and they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O, signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.